Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Hey, how you doing? It's a football Wednesday. Vic Carucci with you, with Michael Regei, who is sitting in for Nathan Zagura today. Nathan will be back tomorrow, but Michael's here now for these next 2 hours. Our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day. Brady Quinn, former Browns quarterback, goes off on current Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel. He of the contract that he just signed yesterday. And we want to know if what he has said about Johnny Manziel, and we'll get into some of those comments. In fact, we've got those sound bites to play, but does that carry any weight coming from a guy who was a bust as a first-round draft pick for this team? Talking about, again, the latest first-round quarterback draft pick of the Browns. Also, Aaron Rodgers had the opposite in terms of an observation of Johnny Manziel. Positive comments from the Green Bay Packers quarterback. So we want to know, do we think, and it's only June, but we're asking this question, and we want to hear from you on this. Has there ever been a more polarizing athlete than Johnny Manziel? And I guess I want to break it down, Michael, in two ways, in Cleveland and maybe in sports, period. I think it's two tiers. I think with Johnny, you've got to expand it to the national stage.
Very intriguing question, Vic. There's no doubt about that. And what a great way to jump right out of the box here
with Browns Nation. We don't
mess around here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The short answer to me is yes. I'm extremely polarizing. A young man who burst on the scene and took everybody by storm, not only obviously with his performance on the field, Texas A&M 2 years ago, but brash, swagger, cocky, some would call arrogant, and yet always able to back it up to those who felt that way about him. So, Vic, though, my first thought with it, and we'll get into it more, but the Brady Quinn thing, I just had to laugh when I first heard it. We'll get into it a little bit later on, but my initial reaction was, so now Brady, I think, is looking to be the sage veteran that wants to win a room somewhere and is going to give out all of this advice to Johnny Manziel. He's no longer here, Brady Quinn, and yet here he is now speaking as the wise veteran that knows his role, I guess, is now a backup or third quarterback in the NFL. That was my initial thought.
Yeah, I don't think what he says is going to carry a lot of weight with Browns fans, with Clevelanders, because of what he did or didn't do with this team, the vast disappointment. And, you know, talking with Phil Savage, who was the general manager who drafted him, talking with Phil as recently as this year's draft, I co-hosted a national radio show with him on Sirius XM NFL Radio. We were talking about Quinn, and he said this very openly. His concern with this wasn't in reference to Johnny Manziel. It was actually in reference to Blake Bortles and the accuracy questions about him, right? And whether or not he had enough of the accuracy or could that be fixed once he became a pro. He said he learned his lesson from drafting Brady Quinn. He said, we had those questions about Brady. You had some reservations about how accurate he'd be, but you kept saying, we'll fix that. We'll fix that. Our coaching staff will get him right. We'll repair that once he's a pro. And he said, you know what? Sometimes guys are just what they are. If you have an accuracy issue in college, to expect that person to have less of an accuracy issue as a pro could be a reach.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. We've seen that over and over again. And, you know, Vic, about Brady, I always felt, and again, it's that's why it kind of makes me chuckle that Quinn now is coming out. And he wants to speak for the room now as a sage veteran, and that's fine. But I always felt that the reason Brady Quinn was a first-round draft pick or even had the type of opportunities he did is because of the selling job that Charlie Weiss did with NFL executives, Vic. Oh. I felt that all along. And no one was. I wonder if Weiss was getting some agent fees the way he sold Brady Quinn to the NFL.
I'm glad you brought that up. And before we go to that, let's not get too far into without talking about what Brady Quinn actually did. And he says, in general, it comes under the general heading of Brady Quinn having issues with how Johnny Manziel conducts himself. Mm-hmm. We'll have the soundbite, but here's the general quote. All right, you know what? Let's just get it up there and get it out of the way. This was on an interview with Sirius XM NFL Radio being critical of how Johnny Manziel has conducted himself.
I think my biggest issue with it is when you're drafted in the first round, you're the face of the franchise. And when you've got a video that comes out like that, I understand he's trying to have a good time and live his life off the field, but there's a little kid watching that. And now he's looking up to him as a role model. And for me personally, I have a little bit of an issue with it. I don't think that's the way you want to conduct yourself. I think.
Okay. I think that's the extent of the bite.
So there's the gist.
But the gist of it is that he thinks it's a bad role model for kids. Okay. A bad look for kids. I think it's bigger than that, actually. I get that part of it. And that one I thought was always the given is you set examples. You want young people to see something in you as a player, and he feels that that's an important element. And I also tend to agree with that. I think it's lower on my list of reasons why I'd be concerned, especially about the latest thing.
Yeah.
But that said, is it's always dangerous, I guess, when you go into the preaching business. When you start saying, hey, this is how you're supposed to lead your life because you're supposed to be a role model, I think nothing turns other athletes off faster than a comment like that, because basically you say, well, who are you to judge me?
And, that's right.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think I'm all for the idea of trying to conduct yourself in a way that represents your team well, but I think it's bigger than saying, you know, when you got to be a role model for the kids. That whole role model thing's got a lot of – it's a slippery slope.
Could it be a little bit self-serving, as I was mentioning a moment ago, too, for Brady Quinn? Here, he knows where he is in his career. Well, let's be honest right now. Now, you're not going to see Brady Quinn challenging for a starting quarterback job anywhere anytime soon.
No.
So, again, to me, it's like, all right, I'm going to take on the voice of the sage veteran that
the lightning rod he's taking.
Yeah, that wants to let young guys know they should have a place when they come in the National Football League. And listen, that's his opinion. That's fine. And I'm not doubting – you know, the validity of what he believes that. I feel he probably does believe that, Vic. That's why he's, you know, decided to put it out there. But, I mean, again, Brady Quinn himself was quite polarizing for on the football field and just not being able to live up to the expectations and, pretty much got run out of town because of that. So, I don't know. Like I said, I found it just a little bit a step to the different side for Brady, but not surprising. Not surprising when all said and done.
So I want to bring this up because you mentioned about the selling job.
Yeah.
His former coach at Notre Dame, Charlie Weiss, former offensive coordinator of the Patriots, did. Charlie and I happened to be the year that led up to that draft. We collaborated on a book while he was at Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
It was called No Excuses. Well, he, and in the course of that, I mean, there was a lot of, I got ears full of Brady Quinn discussion. Not that he was talked about a great deal in the book. The book was more about Charlie and his, you know, the steps he took through coaching, through his coaching career, through being a Golden Domer, graduating,
yeah,
and then
right,
working his way up to head coach there. Well, in the course of that, so that draft is coming up, and he's hearing so much of the negative talk about Brady Quinn's stock and how it's falling. This is in the days walking up to, or the weeks walking up to the draft. And he's typical Charlie. I mean, he is just ripping on me. And I'm at the time working for NFL.com. And he goes, and how can you and all these national writers? And again, we had worked together for months on this book project, and he's just going off and venting, and you know, I just sort of like took that in stride because that's how Charlie did things.
He felt you were slamming Quinn, or at least,
you know, he said
just by not speaking in glowing terms.
He said
of
you
him, yeah,
as a collective group, the national media wasn't doing enough and not understanding. And he goes, and mark my words, this guy's a top five pick, a top five player. He should be. There's no reason he should be taken lower. So he was quite offended when Quinn was taken as low as
was. Yeah.
By the Browns.
Yeah.
But I think the water reaches its natural level. And I think that's what happened with Brady and Brady's particular skill set. And I keep going back to what we heard from Phil Savage in saying in hindsight, he regretted the pick that he made, thinking he could, that this guy would be something different in the pros than he was at the collegiate
maybe
level.
Forced it a little bit. Funny, for just an extra added chuckle, think about this because of your relating your story with Charlie Weiss. 3 years later, he does the very same thing, maybe even more so with Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah.
Charlie Weiss.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure,
Went down and similar. More effusive with Clausen coming in the NFL.
Yeah.
Remember all the, you guys are going to rue the day. You don't, because Clausen wound up, a second-round pick. And remember how vocal Weiss was about, just thought it was a travesty that Jimmy Clausen wasn't a first-round pick. So he went down that road twice, Brady Quinn, Jimmy Clausen.
Right.
Neither one of them distinguished themselves as an NFL QB.
No, and I think they were products of his system.
Exactly.
I mean, they were, and
exactly.
I think, and understandably, as the head coach there, his thinking was, okay, as these guys are outstanding within my system, so pride of ownership is, hey, I want them to show that it isn't just systemic success, that they can be successful as quarterbacks in any system, but because I groomed them. You know, it's the
There's
ego.
No question
and
about
he's
that.
He's got a lot
and
of
he
that.
Had that. But he had that NFL cachet.
Oh, yeah.
With Belichick in New England as a play caller and quarterback guru that gave him the ability to go out and tell the NFL that they were making a big mistake on both those QBs.
So it's Wednesday, and that means it's Mailbag Wednesday, and that means when you tweet us at Browns_daily, make sure you use the hashtag mailbag because we're going to go through as many of the tweets that you send us as possible, answer your questions, share your comments, whatever, throughout the show. So make sure it's hashtag mailbag when you tweet at Browns_daily or at VICCARUCCI or at MICHAELREGHI, my partner here, Michael Regi, who is filling in for Nathan Zagura. So we want to hear from you that way. And we want to hear from you the phone way as well, 216-578-0850, 215-578-0850. We want you for sure to hear about hear what you have to say about all things Browns related. So the topic is on the table about Johnny Manziel and the conduct thing and the lightning rod thing and the polarizing athlete thing. And I just wonder, my concern about this, I don't have a problem if someone is polarizing and yet his production is such that it makes he's a hell of a player. He's polarizing, but he's winning for you. He's successful for you. That's the issue now is we don't know what kind of quarterback he is going to be for the Browns or in the NFL in general, what kind of success he's going to have till we see any evidence. And it's in going by the struggles, some of the trials, tribulations that have been his rookie offseason, which I think a lot of that is predictable so far, doesn't give us a lot to go on, but I guess maybe it sets the table a little bit that we don't necessarily see this guy if we talk today about being that guy on September 7th at Pittsburgh to be the starter.
Mm-hmm.
But polarizing in the context of why Johnny Manziel is polarizing, much of it is related to what he does off the field, but I think a fair amount of it is still how will the game translate, his game translate in the NFL. And that's the great unknown is that do we honestly think that this guy has the goods that whatever he did at the collegiate level is going to work here. I think that's more the reason the polarization, because you have such divergent opinion out there over how this thing is going to work in the NFL. And I have people emphatically tell me, people who I trust and know, who know this game well, emphatically tell me that it won't, that it doesn't, and that those who are enamored with Johnny Manziel are enamored with a guy who did something at the collegiate level of football that is never going to work with any consistency in the NFL, and you're crazy to think it will. That is just that is just folly to go there. Well, the Browns obviously don't think so. The Browns had him as their top-rated quarterback,
right?
And the Browns invested a 22nd overall pick. So the statement made by this organization is, any of you so-called sage, wise people who think it doesn't work in the NFL, you're full of it, because it will.
Yeah, we're going to find out when Johnny Manziel gets on the football field and tries to go about the business of becoming the prominent quarterback on this football team. And, Vic, there you're right. There's where all the polarizing comes in. It's more about what goes on between the lines for Manziel. I think we'd all agree, and, I've said right from the beginning that I do feel – what Kyle Shanahan has accomplished in the NFL with the variance of quarterbacks that he's worked with. I mean, come on now. There's definitively a line there in styles between the success he had with Matt Schaub, mm-hmm. and then the success he had with Robert Griffin III. I mean, two distinctly different quarterbacks in terms of what they came into the NFL with. So I do think there's a lot of that, and Kyle Shanahan and Dow Logans, the quarterback coach, are going to have a large, large impact on how Johnny Manziel adapts and how he acclimates. And I think, Vic, we can all agree, yeah, there's certain things that, you know, probably if he starts turning down too many open receivers, thinking that, as he did at Texas A&M, I'm going to make a bigger play, whether it's with my legs or moving around to find something bigger and better with the receiver. See, I think that's, for me, that's the first area that the Browns are going to go to work on and let them know that in this game, John, we're not able to have that luxury, right? And to be afforded that luxury to do that when you want to be creative and are looking to ad lib. And I know it's a fine line there because you don't want to take all of that away from them, but couldn't we agree that there's got to be some give and take, I think, from him in his approach to quarterbacking in the league?
I think there's going to be more give than take on his part. And I say it this way, not because of coaching ego taking over, saying you're going to just do it our way,
right,
or else.
Right, yeah.
I don't know that there's another way you can truly do it in the NFL besides a true structure of what your offense is about, that it applies to everybody, because you got to keep in mind, as much as you want the fit to be right with your quarterback, mm-hmm. you do have 10 other players to worry about. And also,
oh, yeah.
by the way, other quarterbacks who have to be able to do pretty much everything somewhat the same way or similar ways on your team, because guess what? Guys get hurt.
That's
guys
right.
leave the game.
Yep.
You make changes. You have to be ready one heartbeat, one snap away to put the other guy in. So if you tailor everything to that guy, then Brian Hoyer is, by all accounts right now, the other guy,
yeah.
whatever he is, starter or backup. He is going to be the other guy that we know of for the foreseeable future. There has to be somewhat of a seamless transition mm-hmm. to that next guy. I know they're not, no two quarterbacks are necessarily alike, but on your team, when you build your depth chart at quarterback, you build it with a singular thought in
right.
mind that the
yeah.
system's going to be
yeah.
the system. And right now, the system is the hardest thing for Johnny Manziel to digest, to
yeah.
learn, to communicate. He's struggling with that. He's got to understand the verbiage. He's got to relate that verbiage to everyone else. This has been for him all this offseason his biggest challenge, understanding the lengthy wording of these plays,
mm-hmm.
comprehending that, and then relaying that in the huddle. And that, again, it's not totally – it's probably atypical of rookies.
Mm-hmm.
I think more so in his case, because there was a lot less of that language used in Texas A&M's offense, and the structure was less formal than I think what he's seeing here. So you can't completely say we're rewriting all this and we'll just do it the Texas A&M style for the Browns. No.
No team, not one
of the 32 teams in the league
no.
would do that and can do that. You can't mm-hmm. afford to do that because you have other people to account for. So there's the obstacle, and I'll say that to set this up. This will be the toughest and biggest coaching challenge of a young coordinator's career, Kyle Shanahan's career, yeah. and Dal Loggins. Both of them, Dal and Kyle, will have their biggest coaching challenge in front of them, making it work for this guy while making it work for the whole offense.
That's right. As you said, you went through it very nicely. It's got to stay rather uniform, and this is something that we could continue to go forth. And, Vic, this is, as we go to break, too, this is why I think we said this last week, these 6 weeks coming up away, don't underestimate how large they might loom for Johnny Manziel in terms of what he is able to – that he digested and how he's going to apply that when he gets back, because he's going to need to be up to speed right away from that very first snap.
No doubt. All right, we're just getting this thing rolling. Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us from The Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. We'll hear from her at 2 p.m. We'll have some more sound bites from Brady Quinn, his comments on Johnny Manziel coming up. Again, want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. You got to have something to say about this. And it is a Mailbag Wednesday, so make sure you are sending your questions to us, tweeting them to us at Browns_daily with the hashtag mailbag, and we'll have a couple of segments in the show at 1:45 approximately and 2:45 where we go through that mailbag and answer your questions and comments. We're going to have go around the league with some comments from Darren Rovell, the ESPN business reporter, on the Redskins losing their trademark, Michael. This is a big, big story, actually, and we'll see what the ramifications are of that. The Houston Texans announcing that Ryan Fitzpatrick will be their starting quarterback, what Bill O'Brien had to say about that. So lots of stuff ahead for you. Stick around on a Football Wednesday. Vic Carucci, Michael Regei, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we are driven by Liberty Ford.